Glory to God. Amen. I wanted to take our scripture from Matthew chapter 21. This is Palm Sunday, so we want to just go over. This is the beginning of Passion Week. And we're just going to read this, and then I'm going to share a few things with you about choices that we have to make. Amen. Whether you're here and you're not born again, or you are born again, you're attempting to live a Christian life, we have to make choices. Amen. So here it says, New Living Testament, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said, "and as soon as you enter into it, you will see a donkey tied there and its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me." Now, reading the scripture, it amazes me because, I mean, that was the mode of transportation back then, was basically donkeys and so on and so forth. And that's like Jesus sending somebody to ask for a couple cars. You know? My master wants your car, your Mercedes. Come on now. Hallelujah. It was something valuable, but the Lord knew by the gift of the word of knowledge, and everything was set up already, and this was already probably a follower of Jesus who had this colt and donkey there. And he goes on to say, "If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you have them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And the two disciples did just as Jesus commanded and brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!' And since the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered, 'Who is this?' they asked, and the crowds replied, 'It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" Amen. So, it says here that Jesus stirred up Jerusalem. Now, this was Passover season. And it's roughly estimated that in the city of Jerusalem, there was around 200,000 people. And because of that, the emperor, Augustus, and also Pilate, they annually threw a parade and also another procession. There were two events taking place literally at the same time that Jesus entered in on the donkey. Talking about distractions. And the interesting thing is, it says Pilate, now you think about this. Jesus comes in from the east, and this is particularly important because it says that Jesus is going to break the eastern skies when he comes back. Something about the east. How many of you know we're on the east coast? Something about the east. Hallelujah. The west can be the west, but we're the east. Now, Pilate and his procession, his parade, came in from the west. So he had two different celebrations going on. And the reason is that the fear that the celebration of the Passover was, how many of you remember what that was about? It was about the escape of Egypt, God delivering the children of Israel from Egypt. Amen. So they didn't want the mob, because there's 200,000, who knows how many more than that, but that's what they estimated, would get stirred up and cause a rebellion like they did on January 6th. Just kidding. The government got nervous, okay? Because the king of the Jews, all right? Jesus was coming and having his procession. And so Pilate came with his massive armored soldiers on horses in all of their armament, I'm sure flashing the metal parts, the leather making noise, and just, it was a great scene. But it says that the interesting thing is that Pilate served the late Emperor Augustus, which is noted to be called the Son of God also. Now let me read this to you because it's very interesting. It had been said that Emperor Augustus was fathered by God Apollo, and inscriptions refer to him as Son of God, or Lord, and even Savior. And after his death, the legend has it that he was seen ascending into heaven to take his place among the other gods. So you can see the contrast of two kingdoms clashing at this time. How many of you know there's a clash between the kingdoms right now? Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is here in the earth, which we are representatives of the king. Amen. And of course, the corruption that is on the other side. So even in Palm Sunday situation, there was a clash between the two kingdoms. And although we see people getting excited, throwing their garments and the palm leaves and whatever they could find in front of Jesus, he entered as a humble servant, all right? But how they changed a week later, and they went from Hosanna, King of the Jews, to crucify. Think about that. How vulnerable we humans can be. That's why we've got to know that we know who we are and that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Because when times get rough, would we easily be swayed? Kingdoms. Satan is the god of this world, but Jesus is captain of the Lord's army. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. I'll put that picture up between with the two kingdoms. The first picture. No, not that one. The other one with Jesus on the donkey. Okay, this is a kind of cartoonish, but it kind of sets out there were two opposing forces. The kingdom of God, which was humble, and it comes in humble, but it's powerful. Woo, glory to God. And then Caesar and his great army. These things were happening on that very same day, that Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. But on the other hand, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of destruction or death. There's always a choice that we have to make. A person that don't know Christ, they have to make a choice to choose the way. Amen? The Jesus way. Amen? We who are Christians, we have to make choices every day. Are we going to be a disciple? And the disciple means disciplined one. To follow Jesus. Or can we get swayed by the times and the seasons that we live in, and the fake news and all this kind of stuff? That's why we've got to stay in prayer, stay in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says something very, very important here to the church. Verse 13 says, you can enter into God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. Have you ever thought about that scripture? You can only, there are many ways you can get into other things. And the way of the world is such a strong current. that it has an even a tendency to pull on even the strongest of Christians. The force, the society that we live in, it's just compelling. The world is so compelling, but remember, it's just for a short period, you know? Just get your thrills for a moment. But again, as we've talked about in the past weeks, we've got to be eternity-minded. What is the most important thing in our life? It says you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Say broad. And his gate is wide for many who chooses that way. Now put that picture up. This kind of illustrates. It says many there be that find it, okay? This is the world. It's just, you know, how many of you been in the crowd and you just get pushed along with it? You just, yeah. You know, years ago when our kids were little, we used to go to some of the Benny Hinn crusades that were in the area. Actually, we traveled quite a ways. But we were held outside the doors of these, big arenas and whatever, thousands of people would go and to receive their miracles and so on and so forth. We just wanted to be around that anointing. And soon as the doors opened, we had little Edwin and Donna. We were carrying her at the time. But we said, we got to hold on to each other. Because just because these people are Christians, those doors open, man, and we're going to get stampeded. Hallelujah. And so the force of the people just push you in, right? So we've got to be careful as children of God. Once we decide that we're going to go this way, that we don't get sucked into, peer pressure and so on and so forth. Social media is such a powerful thing right now. See, Jesus came into Jerusalem and everybody celebrated him. But a week later, they were saying, crucify. So somewhere along the line, their minds got shifted. It got changed. Well, that would never happen to me. There have been good Christians who have turned on Christ. You wonder if they were Christians in the first place. I don't know. But it makes you wonder. That's why we've got to decide that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's my Lord and my Savior. And Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only way to your happiness. Jesus is the only way to your healing. Jesus is the only way to everything that you will ever need. The kingdom of God. That's why communion is so powerful. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 3, verse 14. I know we're talking a little bit more about a salvation situation right now, but it talks about multitudes. Put that picture back up there. See, multitudes are in the valley of decision down here. And unless they're reached for Christ, that's what next week is all about. Inviting people, coming out to prayer this week. Amen? Praying that their eyes would be open. Those that come out and those that you've invited will come out so they won't be pulled in into darkness. Amen? Because it is a powerful draw. But it says multitudes are in the valley of decision. A lot of people are in that decision mode right now. The valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Think about what that says. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of the decision. What does Romans chapter 10 says? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. See, there are a lot of Catholics that believe in Jesus. And many of you came out of the Catholic Church. They believe in Jesus. They celebrate communion. But you've got to do two things. And I know a lot of them have done the other. says you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. For with confession, hallelujah, that's a confirmation that you've received Christ. I have received Jesus. I declare him as my Lord and my Savior forever from this point on. Hallelujah. Amen, amen for that. Amen. But then we who are born again, we made that decision, and I've talked about that earlier today. There's still that pull from the world to be more like the world, one foot in and one foot out. And there's coming a time when we can't live like that anymore. We've got to step into the kingdom all of the way. Amen? Amen? And stop playing with the world. Okay? Now look at this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Just a couple more scriptures. It says, we look away from the natural realm. This is how we, amen. This is how we make it, glory to God. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto who? Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? But he shows us the way for that which is set before us. Eternity, eternal life, heaven, bliss, whatever you can imagine heaven to be is before us. Who for the joy, hallelujah, endured the agony, will endure temptation. We will endure the things, the pressure, say pressure, pressure, that the enemy would put against us to compromise our faith. This is what Palm Sunday, Jesus began his week of the, we call it the Passion Week, ending up right before the Lord's Supper in a place of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweat great drops of blood, pressure. He said he was tempted like you and I. He was human. A lot of times we look at it so lightly. He was going through hell on earth. During that prayer meeting, he knew that for the first time in eternity, he was going to be separated from his Father. Pressure was on him. There was a song that used to be sung, he could have called 10,000 angels. He was a son of God. At that moment, even on the whipping post, he could have called 10,000 angels and delivered him. But because he was focused on you and I and redemption, our liberty from the powers of sin, he endured the suffering of the cross. Hallelujah. He made it through the agony of the garden. He made it through the whipping post. Beard being ripped out. All of that, Judas turning on him. All of this thing that happened to him. He did it for you and I. So why can't we live a life of purity? Why can't we live a life of victory? Saying, I make heaven my home. Nothing is going to distract me. Nothing is going to pull me into that crowd that denies Christ and say, crucify him. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to cast down every imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And one of these days, glory to God, I'm going to be with him in glory. Amen. I'm going to be with him in glory. Say, I'm going to be with him. In glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate. Yes. His resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated the enemy so you and I could have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? But we have to make a choice every day. Amen. To live for him, to follow him, to celebrate. We had communion today. Celebrate the blood. Amen. Celebrate his broken body. We can walk in divine health. That's why David in Psalms 103 got so excited. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yes. Forget not. You need to do that every morning. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week we celebrate our liberty, our freedom. Hallelujah. And Sunday's coming. When he comes out of that grave, glory to God, we'll be celebrating and bring people with you. Hallelujah. Next week.